Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT's back on the bail. Let's get back to the phones here. BT, we'll have our perfect parlay pick segment coming up at 1:20, so it should be fun going around Wild Card Weekend. We'll at least pick the winner of all the games and then do our normal perfect parlay picks. Well, let's hear from the listeners here, from the callers, as we've been talking about Pete Alonso today. We're talking some NFL playoffs. Joseph is in Charlotte, wants to talk about Alonso. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? I called you guys a few weeks ago. I told you I wasn't a fan of David Stearns and how Steve Cohen has spent their money. If they sign Pete Alonso, man, I'm strongly against that. Pete Alonso, I'll run down some numbers for you real quick. 240 batting average, 34 home runs, right? Not too bad. Runners in scoring position. He's had it. Where did I have that? 239. Bases loaded, 154. Two outs in runners in scoring position, 239. Vladimir Guerrero, 298, 313, 500.
Yeah, Vlad's
bases loaded, with bases loaded.
Yeah, Vlad's better. Vlad's better.
He's also not available.
Yeah, he's a Blue Jay.
He is twice as better, and we should be planning to go after him the same way, you know, Dodgers plan for Shohei Ohtani and et cetera. But we should be we should not sign Pete Alonso unless it's strictly a DH. Alonso, I mean, honestly, I like him as a person, but he's trending down. I don't want to say sucks, but we can replace 33 home runs, and that's all he's given us is just home runs. To replace.
Who? Okay, how are you going to replace it this year? Ronnie Mauricio going to hit 33 home runs?
You get a DH, Santander is available. I mean, you can replace the 33 home runs, but everything else he does is below average, and there's no reason that we should be going after him, in my opinion.
I do think it's a fair opinion, Joe, and thank you for the call. We appreciate that.
Although he is a good scooper.
Well, the best scooper. I do think that people are under, and in this particular case, Joe, undervaluing that Pete did it in New York and in the postseason. Like, it's easy to just say, on paper, Santander can hit home runs too. Okay, yeah, well, he did it in Baltimore, in that ballpark, with being an Oriole, which is a big difference than being a Met in New York. Mm-hmm. So, there's got to be some value there. How many times have we seen mid-tier free agents sign here and fail miserably? Which is also why I would value Pete in that regard. I'm not going to disagree, BT, and say that I would much rather plan for Guerrero next year, but not at the cost of punting this season.
Well, that's the question I wanted to get into. I'm happy that you just led me there, even though it was unintentional. Like, you can't just take the whatever remains of Lindor's prime. And obviously Soto's just entering his prime, so I'm less concerned about him. But, you know, to me, wasted seasons, not that they couldn't win without Pete. You always could. But to view it, if the Mets are internally, we'll be okay this year, and then we'll make a big swing at Vlad, then we'll try to really win. I don't think that that's what these new Mets are supposed to represent. That's, like, to me, a faulty way of looking at the remaining prime years of some of your best players, including Nimmo, who's not young.
Right.
You know.
But isn't there then a fine line between trying to have sustained success and building this the right way? Like, the right practical, logical, smart move would be, well, I'm not going to spend on something that I think is less than what's going to be available next year.
Mm-hmm.
But now, let's just say that the Mets did say that, and they don't want Pete back because it's going to impact a pursuit of Guerrero Jr. Let's just say then that happens. Then they're going to be in a spot where they have to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like, so what are you going to do? Give him $500 million? You know what I mean? Like, you also can't put yourself in a franchise. Oh, well, just go get this player when he becomes available. What if he doesn't? What if Toronto all of a sudden decides this year they're going to extend him and give him $500 million? Mm-hmm. And then he's not available. And then you say,
what do we do?
So, like, you can't. It sounds great. By the way, that could have been the thought process last year. Like, oh, let's wait till Soto. Yeah, well, what if Soto said that I want to stay with the Yankees? Which, by the way, could have been a realistic possibility. It was close. It wasn't like it was the Mets all the way. The Mets didn't think they were going to get Soto.
Yep.
As it turned out, they thought, even after they met with him, they were like, we have no chance of getting this guy. Turns out that they did. So you can't plan for a free agent.
It's like
move.
The Knicks with LeBron all those years.
Like, come on. So suck for 3 years to hope.
Just build it.
Yeah.
Build it.
Exactly.
Build it.
Live in the now.
So do you think there's anything to this? I thought about this, and I don't even really know if I think it's true, but it's interesting. I think enough to kick around. because of how Cohen outspent everybody for Soto. Not that that was a surprise, but I think, listen, I think we all think that the Yankees would have gone up a little bit more, that if Boris went back to the Mets, that Cohen probably would have tacked on 20 more million. Like, I think he would have just kept going whatever it took to get Soto. Do you think that some teams around baseball that might be interested in Pete are laying out because they're saying, this guy's, we're not going to lose. We're not going to win this bidding battle, even though it won't reach the heights, obviously, of Soto. But the thought now of Steve's strong shadow, Cohen's shadow, in terms of getting somebody that they want and not being outbid, it's kind of dissuading some teams from jumping in a little bit. Why am I going to waste my time?
I think it's an excellent point. I don't know if that's the case, but could you see a scenario where basically Cohen and Stern said it, hey, go test the market and come back to us. So, like, let's say you go to Seattle and they come with a four-year, $120 million offer. And Cohen's like, okay, well, I'll give you 4 years, $130 million, or whatever. I'll give you five. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he, Cohen, and Stearns want Pete to that extent. And I also don't think that that should deter a team that really wants Pete.
Mm-hmm.
But you also could know what you're up against and just say, well, we don't really want him anyway.
Yeah, well, we want him, but we don't need him. So why deal with the extra headaches? And, you know, and by the way, as we're doing this, playing this game of chess with Cohen that we're not going to win, other guys are off the board, like Christian Walker, some other options. Bellinger, if you viewed him as a first baseman via trade with the Cubs, that would kind of take away that ability to build the team out properly.
Where it's been wildly speculated for a while that the industry seems that it was always going to be Alonso back to the Mets. Like months ago, we're talking about for months, it was always like, everybody expects that to be the case.
I don't even know who he's really connected to other than the Mets. Yeah. I thought maybe the Nationals?
It's all been speculation.
But that was a while ago. Yeah, I never bought the Yankee stuff. Never for a second. We had those conversations. Alonso was never going to the Yankees.
Matt in Jackson, New Jersey wants to talk some NFL playoffs, wild card weekend. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's it going? Can you guys hear me well?
Yes, we got you.
We got you, buddy. What's cooking?
I just wanted to say thanks for taking my call. I probably haven't called since like 2016, but this is a special occasion.
Okay.
I have a quick question for you guys. It'll be really easy, but I just want to beat my chest a little bit. First, the question, best non-Super Bowl playoff game you've seen? And just before you guys answer, I'm going to hang up right after this, but I just want to... A lot of people doubted the Broncos this year. I'm a proud Jersey guy. I'm a proud Broncos fan. I've been watching them since 1997, really, since our first Super Bowl. Everybody doubted them. I just want to give shout-out to Pat Surtain, best corner in the league. Sean Payton, absolute great coach. Bo Nix, absolute stud.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for letting me say my stuff.
Good luck Sunday there, Matt, and thank you for the call.
I built it quick. I was telling you, I wish Payton would have been hired by the Jets when he was hitting the news cycle or the coaching cycle. The best non-Super Bowl game that I've ever seen. Well, I mean, I'd like to be able to give this some thought. The first thing that jumps out is kind of an off-the-radar one because it was the middle of the season. The Monday Night Miracle with the Jets and the Dolphins.
Oh, was that that game?
Were you really?
Yes, I was.
I was living in Vegas.
What was it, 30-3 or something?
I don't think it was quite 30-3.
Yeah, it was bad.
I don't think it was 30-3.
Maybe,
I'd have to double-check that. I don't think. But remember, Jumbo caught the touchdown?
Yes, yeah, I remember.
That was wild, man. Well, what would think about the...
Did he say playoff game or just any game?
I thought he said best non-Super Bowl game that he... I'm assuming he wants a football. And I'm,
Yeah.
You know, but the other one that jumps out, the Bills-Oilers when they came back with Frank Reich.
That was one that was on my mind. I was a little too young to really remember the ins and outs of that game.
Yep.
But that's one that clearly jumps out.
Jets,
I mean, how about the Giants-Niners before that? Matt Barr.
Jets-Dolphins.
For me... I don't remember if it was a great game overall, but I know it was the best one that I've ever seen in my fandom. Falcons-Vikings 98 NFC Championship game.
Oh, the missed field goal, right?
Yeah. Gary Anderson didn't miss one all year. He misses one Falcons.
He didn't miss one all year?
I'm pretty sure he was perfect all year long, and then he missed that one.
Wow.
In the NFC Championship game at home to seal the deal.
Yeah.
Misses it. Falcons come down, score a touchdown, go to overtime. Morton Anderson wins it in overtime. They go to the Super Bowl and then lose to his Broncos.
Let me see. So the Dolphins scored 17 points in the first quarter, and then Jets scored a touchdown in the second.
30-7, maybe.
Yeah, and then the Jets scored 30 in the fourth quarter.
So what was the low
point? I just have the Wikipedia. It doesn't say like the touchdown by the touchdown. I mean, I went to the wrong link there, But that was
I'm pretty sure
that
was
incredible.
Dude, I remember. I was like, Jet fans are talking smack. I was there with actually my Dolphin fan friends.
Are you serious? Fan,
and they're talking Jet fans. I'm like, look at the scoreboard.
I got it,
you?
Actually. Hold on. I got to say, I don't think it was. What'd you say it was?
I thought it was 30-3 myself.
That sounds high.
I don't know why that was the first.
20-0.
Okay.
20-7. 30-7.
30-7.
Okay. 30-13. I didn't think it was 30-3.
Oh, 30-13.
But close enough.
But also,
I mean, yeah,
30-7.
Yeah, but not 30-3.
Okay. I mean, 30-7. Hey, I mean, it's 24 years ago.
You know how
ago.
I am with my stats and my numbers.
So
I like
wait,
to
but
be.
But it was 30-7 and 32-13?
Well, it was 30-7 going into the fourth quarter.
Right, okay.
And then Vinny connects with Coles to make it 30-13. Then Jermaine Wiggins, the tight end, I remember him, 1 yard pass from Vinny. So now it's 30-20. John Hall bangs in a field goal. Cribbett, I remember that one from Vinny.
Dude, 30 to 7.
And the crazy thing is after the Jets, see, you almost forget this, I know. After the Jets come back and tie it up at 30, then Leslie Shepard holds in a 50-yard bomb from Jay Fiedler, put the Dolphins back up 37 to 30, and then that's when Jumbo, with like, you know, a minute or so left, catches the touchdown to tie it. So the Jets battled all the way back.
Did they go to
overtime
or no?
It went to overtime. And then Hall hit a field goal. They battled all the way back, and then they tie it at 30 from trailing 30-7. But then they give up the lead, and boom, they come right back and score a touchdown.
October of 2000?
That was 2000. I was living in Vegas. Yeah. I remember where I was living in Vegas watching the game.
What's the
My
exact
roommate
date?
Was also from New Jersey, a big Jets guy. The exact date?
This is Subway Series time. Because I remember it was, for me, a run of just like going to massive
October
games.
23rd.
Okay. So I guarantee it was right in the middle of the Subway Series. Because I remember it was either right in the middle of the Subway Series or right after the Subway Series.
I don't remember juggling a Subway Series that night.
Yeah. No. I don't know about that
I'm
night.
I'm saying that night, I don't.
I'm saying that week. There wasn't that night, I don't think, because
There's
I wouldn't
no
have
way.
Missed the game. I'm just saying that I remember going to like game two, whatever, maybe the week before.
You had a good week. You were bouncing around.
That's back in my like prime as a fan. Yeah, I remember that week. It was
how
nuts.
Old were you?
Come on, you're gonna be 30-7. I was close 30-3. 34 points off.
Did you stay for the whole game?
I believe that we did, but I don't have recollection.
You don't remember.
I definitely stayed for the Jumbo touchdown and the comeback.
Yeah.
But for some reason I didn't remember that it went to overtime.
Yeah,
I think it was just a
John
disbelief.
John was a good kicker, too. He had a pretty good foot.
That was a wild regular season game. Henrik is calling from Bayside, Queens, and wants to talk Pete versus Vlad. What's up, Henrik?
How are you doing today? First of all, thank you for taking my call. The one thing I just wanted to know from your perspective is I don't think it makes sense to keep Pete long-term just because you're already seeing him going downhill, primarily because the last 2-3 seasons haven't been that great. Aside from his postseason, it's been a pretty mediocre year, and he choked under the pressure of a big contract. I don't think it makes sense to go for Vlad now. Maybe go for it in the offseason, but Pete has made some points that he doesn't want to be a DH. So I think pivoting to Santander and Bregman are not a bad choice.
Who was the other one?
Bregman.
No, and Santander, did you say somebody before that?
I think Santander and Bregman are better to go for.
Okay, and thank you, Henrik. Yeah, I mean, look, they're not bringing Pete back to be a DH now. He would play first base now, probably the next couple years, and then maybe move to DH. It's just nice to have that spot. Here's the point, though. You can't then sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and have Soto, and by the way, have Lindor, who's going to eventually have to be moved off the short. Like, you can't have five DHs in waiting in the next 3 to 5 years. Again, Pete, short-term deal. That's why I had 3 years, BT, regardless of the AAV. I have to believe there's going to be a way to get it done. Mets can't let Pete go for 3 years.
I don't think they will, but that's why I remember saying to you a while ago, I mean, I'd give him something wacky. Give him 1 year, $45 million, because this way he can still go after Vlad after this year, and he's back this year. So the Vlad thing is on the table still. You have, for 2025, you have Pete behind Soto, you're taking a big swing in 2025. You're not married long-term. You know, you're not congesting the DH spot. I don't think Pete would sign 1 year, 45. I just don't think that he would, but I might float it their way, see if he would.
Could be Vlad or Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well,
it doesn't have
Tucker's
to just be
coming.
Well, whatever. But the point is, you should be. Yeah, and maybe he is going to go to the Yankees.
No,
maybe
no.
That's
who
the guy
the hell?
The
I'm done with that. After Soto left, I'll just wait and see.
Honestly, I'm done with it. Even though it came out favorable in my case with that, I'm done. I can't do that again.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, it was.
And I don't want to get into that battle again. And maybe they will, but it will never be the same as
not
it was
like
with
that.
Soto.
Not with that circumstance.
But
no
the
way.
Point is, if you leave yourself open to a big contract still and getting a great player, it shouldn't just be Vlad. It could also be Tucker. And
I agree.
The Mets actually need an outfielder more. You could move Vientos to first base and figure it out.
You could have Nimmo DH if that's the case. Yeah, Marte's gone soon. Nimmo could DH. I mean, there's a lot of ways to play that for sure.
Yeah, so just go get
Tucker's
the better.
Stud.
To get the better player. William is in Middle Village. What's up, William?
Billy.
Hey, Sal, BT, how are you? Sal stole a little bit of my thunder before what I was going to say, but in regards to Pete Alonso and his 33 home runs, the previous call about two calls back said we could just replace it. Where? They don't fall for trees in New York Mets organizations in the last 40, 50, 60 years since they've been around.
Yeah,
I
but
mean,
Will.
Haven't we...
Will,
yeah,
can I? I'm not going to hang up on you. Everybody gets this
wrong.
I got you. Everybody gets this wrong. I've said this, and this goes back to things I've said about Pete for 2 years, and I always get the pushback. How are we going to replace 45 home runs at first base? I'm not. I understand that you're not going to have somebody, even if you put Santander at first base, which you wouldn't, I still don't think he'd hit more home runs than Pete in that ballpark. The bottom line is, you replace it and you become better in other spots.
Like the Yankees with Soto.
Correct. Correct.
I agree. I agree with that. But like now, we're talking about getting Soto as a Mets fan. This is the one time we've won anything in any sweepstakes in the last 20 years. I mean, if you want to include Beltran or whatever. Yeah. But now you want to talk about going to get Vlad Guerrero? That's not always going to be the case, just because we can throw exuberant amounts of money at people. And now this guy is a homegrown guy who wants to be here, or seems like he wants to be here, depending on what Scott Boras is saying to him.
I don't think it's Pete, not as easy.
No,
it's not, William. Thanks, you're right. And sorry to jump you there. And we do appreciate you taking the time to call. I don't think Pete, and I'm not trying to make it bad on Pete. I think Pete wants the most money. I think if Seattle, whoever, pick a team, Houston, I know they saw him Walker, but whatever, at the Cubs, if a team went to Pete and said, we'll give you 5 years, $150 million, or 6 years, $150 million, Pete's going there. He's like, oh, I really want to be a Met. Let me go back to them. I think Pete wants the most money. I don't think Pete has an option here. Other than the Mets, at least right now, with as much interest as he would like. However, I do agree in that it is not that easy to replace. And where the Mets are at, BT, they're not at the Yankee stage post-Soto where it was like, okay, basically a blank slate. Mm-hmm. Let's go get Fried, Williams, Goldschmidt, whatever. Like, they could piece it together after Soto. The Mets almost have their team complete to where Pete is the missing piece, at least in their lineup, with that power. And the only way you could replace it is you expect Alvarez to have a better year. You bring in a DH who's going to hit 20 home runs.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not the same
as having that. It's not the same, but it doesn't mean it can't be better. I mean, we were talking about Arias maybe as a first base option for the Mets, which it's not going to happen. But, if Arias, I'm just say if he came to the Mets and he had 325 versus Pete's 242, with 37 home runs, and Arias, hits almost 330, wins the batting title, and obviously only has 7 or 8 home runs. But now all of a sudden, Soto is bringing 30-something home runs to the board. And Alvarez tacks on 5 or 6 more. And Vientos plays 30 or 40 more games because he's not starting the year in the minors. And Acuna gets a little playing time, and he's got a little juice in his bat. And Siri in center field, I know he strikes out. He's going to have more home runs than Bader. He's got more pops. He can steal more bases.
Correct. On paper, mathematically, the Mets can replace Pete Alonso's homers. I don't think they can replace the presence in the lineup, in particular behind Juan Soto, if they don't bring Pete Alonso back. I also don't believe it is sustainable to do what they did a year ago in the pitching, starting pitching, in the bullpen, and in the lineup, in that if you take Vientos out of the equation a year ago, they're screwed. Like, it was basically Lindor and Vientos the majority of the year.
J.D. Martinez for a month.
Yeah, exactly. Like the head spurt. So are you going to rely again on Vientos having the same year he did? Fine. Alvarez bouncing back and having a big year. Lindor, same year. Obviously, Soto. And then also needing Nimmo to bounce back and one of the young guys to pop. Like, that's asking.
Would you feel better if you had a better staff? Would you feel different if you had, like, if you got Sasaki? If you had a different, if you had a staff?
I mean, you got to give me something that I could say. Like, you can't have question marks everywhere. The Mets are solid going in. On paper, they're not as good as the Phillies or the Braves. And there's a reason for that. Or the Dodgers. And because there are question marks. Doesn't mean it's going to play out like that, but you're going to take that chance again?
No, they shouldn't.
You got to minimize the risk. And just bringing Pete back, it's not the be-all, end-all. Could they win as much without him? Sure, but by bringing him back, you're minimizing the risk or minimizing the ifs of all the other guys.
Which, by the way, is one of the reasons why I think he'll be back. I think that at the end of the day, they know that. They want Pete on their terms, not his terms. I don't think they're going to be very flexible. I don't think, quite frankly, they need to be quite flexible because nobody's knocking down Pete's door. I think it works out in the end. You know, Pete's sitting here. I guess the only thing I worry about is, you know, he was distracted during the season with the contract hanging over his head. Is he, and this is going to sound odd, I know he's working out, but are his off-season preparations being distracted because he doesn't know where he's playing next year?
I'd hope not.
I mean, I know it's, oh no, of course he's working out. Yeah, I know, but when you're always checking your phone and on conference calls with the Boris agency,
it's weighing on you, 100%, mentally. Before we break, and we'll get to the perfect parlay, Evan texted me, check this out. Evan Roberts, obviously.
Yes.
Game 1, 2000 World Series, Saturday. Game 2, Sunday. So I was at game 2. That was the Piazza Clemens thing.
Mm-hmm.
Monday was the Monday Night Miracle.
Yep.
So it went game 1, game 2 of the World Series, Monday the Monday Night Miracle.
Yeah.
Game 3, which I was at back at at Shea Stadium on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, game 3 is a Tuesday through Friday, game 3 through 5, all back-to-back.
Boy, that was some run.
Yeah, and I was at... You weren't even at the games with me for you.
The Jets won. The Yanks won the World Series.
That was some run. Game 2, I was at.
How does Evan remember this?
Loss.
Does he actually?
He might have looked it up.
Who knows? I think he remembers that stuff.
I mean, I was close to it. I just didn't have the exact details. Yeah. Game 2, I was at. Loss from the Mets perspective. Mm. Game 3, the Monday night game, didn't really care about. Game 3, Mets did win that game.
There you go.
And then I didn't go to 4, but I did go to 5. So that was a crazy week.
See, were you there for a Jeter's home run, leadoff home run?
I was not there for that one. I was banging out sick to Home Depot that week, apparently. Get somebody else. I'm going to games, baby. BT and Sal on the Fan. Come back, give you our football picks for Wild Card Weekend, and get back to your calls as well before we say goodbye at 888-808-1019.
Talk about your Giants on the Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, let's make a little scratch. Football picks. BT and Sal brought to you by ELEC 825. Building our future, and by London Menswear brand Charles Turwitt. Shop your new favorites at ctshirts.com.
It is Perfect Parlay Pick Segment, Wild Card Weekend Edition. We're going to change it up a little bit as the Perfect Parlay Pick Segment throughout the course of the regular season has ended. I was in first place, you know by now, and if you don't, where have you been? But BT and Hoff are going to have to dress up. BT will be Brother Love. Hoff will be Papa Shango for losing. So nothing really on the line here, BT, as we go to the postseason. But I do want to pick each game this weekend. Well, not just this weekend, obviously throughout the course of the weekend and then Monday night. And then we should give our perfect parlay on top of it. So okay, we'll cover everything here. And, of course, as always, you start us off.
All right, here's the music. I love the Chargers. Brother Sam, yeah. Brother Huff, Brother Boyle. Give it a Chargers -3 over the Houston Texans. I love their defense. Obviously, Harbaugh's a stud. I got respect for the Texans, but I just like their balance. Chargers -3. I've said it a million times. Give me the Ravens. Lay the 9.5 points. I'm not going to back off that now. Yeah, a little pause there because I don't know exactly what the Steelers will do with the quarterback position, but it is time for Lamar to slay these Pittsburgh demons, light it up, go bonkers. Ravens -9.5. Give me Denver +8.5 at Buffalo. Denver is well coached. I know they've got a rookie, but he seemed quarterback, pretty poised. Got a good defense there. I've got great respect for the Bills. I really do. But 8.5 is a big number, kind of quirky. Too much for me to pass up. Denver +8.5. Green Bay is at Philly, NFC. That's also an interesting number, 5.5. I'm going to take the Packers. Packers +5.5. I don't know exactly where Jalen Hurts is. I've ridden Philly all year. You know that in these picks. I love them. They're just a little vulnerable, maybe. So 5.5 is appealing to me. Green Bay, give me Washington +3 at Tampa. Love Baker, but I do like the Commanders getting a little money here. Mm. And I'm going to take the Rams +3. I got a lot of dogs here. Rams +3 over the Vikings. So Chargers -3. Give me the Ravens -9.5. Denver +8 and a hook. Green Bay +5.5. Washington plus three and the Rams plus three. Now, should I do the parlay now?
Yeah, I want your perfect parlay. So basically, this is just going to be the best bets, however you want to parlay it. Yeah. Minimum two teams.
I'm going to go for two spot here. Give me the Ravens. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I've said this all week here. Ravens minus 9.5, and I'm going to take the Packers plus 5.5 down in Philly. Two winger right there.
All right, I like it. Well done. Nice and crisp right there. All right, Hoff, you're up second. What do you got?
Hey, I heard you were a wild one.
That's right.
He's definitely a wild one, this guy.
So, BT, I'm sorry.
Can't pick the games, but he can pick a music bet out there. Good job, Hoff.
BT, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
You and I are locked in on five of those games.
What? Really?
Yes.
Wow.
You're in trouble.
Which one do we disagree on?
So I took the Chargers minus three, Baltimore minus 9.5, Denver plus 8.5 as you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay plus 5.5. I love that pick. Washington plus three. I'm taking Minnesota minus three.
Wow.
The Vikes, that's the one difference, huh?
Yep.
So what's the reason? Any quick reason?
I just think the Vikings are the better team. Okay. I mean, the Rams have been good. They've been playing better.
Yeah.
But again, that game is in flux right now. They're going to be in Arizona. So it's a coin toss.
Okay.
All right, you give us your parlay. How many teams are you going to go here?
Oh, I'm going to do four.
Okay. Okay. What are your four bets?
I'm definitely taking Baltimore minus 9.5. I'm doing Chargers minus three. Going to take Minnesota minus three and the Packers plus 5.5.
All right. I mean, look, and this is going to happen when we start to dwindle down the number of games here that we can choose from. They're going to be similar picks, although I'm not as in aligned or in as much alignment as you two guys are. I'm going to start with, and I hate doing this because you know I love the Chargers. Harbaugh, I've been talking about them all year long. I could see a path where they could actually beat Kansas City. But there's something about him being in his first year there, the inexperience maybe in the postseason for Herbert in that situation, going against an experienced Texans team on the road as well. It's tough to win playoff games on the road. Give me the Texans plus the three. I'm rooting for the Chargers to win, but since I'm picking the Texans to cover, I'm going to pick them. I would not put this in my parlay. I don't feel strong about it, but give me the Texans plus three in game number one. I've been talking about it all week long. I'm going to stick with the Steelers plus 9.5 points. I just think it's too much, and I do love what Costo said about Fields. Mike Tomlin is an excellent head coach. Postseason, I would be stunned if the Steelers won this game, but I would be stunned if they got blown out. Give me Russell Wilson, a little Justin Fields sprinkled in, the Steelers' toughness, Mike Tomlin to keep it close Saturday night, plus 9.5 points. I love the Bills to cover this spread. That's where we're going to be a big disagreement there. I like Denver all year with Peyton. I think this is now where the tough gets going. Denver is maxed out. They made the postseason. Great season with a rookie quarterback. On the road in that wild environment against Josh Allen and the freaking Buffalo Bills who are trying to win a Super Bowl, I think this is a double-digit game for the Bills. So I feel comfortable, and that will be one of my parlay legs. Give me the Eagles minus 5.5 as well. I'm surprised, BT, you went away from them.
Yeah.
It's been the opposite, right? I've been going against them all year. You've been going with them.
Yeah.
And in this game, as much as I hate the Eagles, I can't bet against them anymore. It's only 5.5. It seems like a lot, but they can win that game by a touchdown with ease at home. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they lose outright. But give me the Eagles minus 5.5. I like the Bucs a lot in this game. I'm not a big Commanders guy. Dan Quinn, I don't trust in a big spot in the postseason. Again, rookie quarterback versus a Todd Bowles defense and Baker Mayfield's offense. I like the Bucs minus three. And then Monday night, I like the Rams a lot. I know it's a neutral site game, but getting three against Minnesota, I'm going to think that Sam Darnold is more what he did Sunday night, especially in the postseason as things ratchet up. That was their season, that game Sunday night. And he looked awful, Sam Darnold did, against a banged-up Lions defense. We give Aaron Glenn credit, but still, that was a bad performance by Sam Darnold and the Vikings. I think the Rams are better coached, and maybe they do rally around the city now, and the game has to get moved, which is tough, but I'm getting 3 points, so give me the Rams. As for the perfect parlay, I'm going to go with a two-teamer here. I don't love a lot of these games. I'm only going to go two. I love the Bills. Give me the Bills minus 8.5. I think they win that game with relative ease on Sunday, Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And then give me the Bucks on the Sunday night game minus three. Two favorites
Baker.
For a two-team perfect parlay. Those are the two games that my gut, at least right now, says I feel strongest with. I think it's a tough board.
If you could watch one of these games, which one would it be?
Just one?
Just one.
I don't know, man. There are some good ones here. I know the easy answer is probably Packers and Eagles.
Ravens, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm I actually want to see Buffalo and Denver.
That's the one that I might pick. Yeah. I think Denver's coming to play, man. Bills, they're not a warm weather team. They're used to this. Yep. It snows out there. It's cold out there in Denver.
You think they could beat them?
I'd be surprised if they win. I'd be equally surprised if they get absolutely bamboozled. I don't see them getting blown out.
You got a lot of the underdogs with points. You think any of these big underdogs can, like, can the Packers win? The biggest underdogs.
Packers could win. Okay. I mean, yeah, just because Jalen Broncos. Hurts, I'm not sure about Jalen Hurts.
Bro, you like the Ravens, obviously, to blow them out. And I do. The Broncos, you don't think could actually win that game?
I don't think they can win.
That atmosphere.
Stop short of that.
The atmosphere in Buffalo, the postseason.
Great
looking,
fans.
Looking forward to it. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back. Finish up on the phones, discuss a little more wildcard weekend as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
Fox to Panarin and Sabanajet. Same marks to
Sam, BT, sounding as good as ever. A terrific call last night, and the Rangers win over the Devils. Hey, don't look now, but the Rangers actually starting to right the ship a little bit after I thought they were left for dead with all that was going on with them.
They looked awful. They had no morale. They looked like they were checked out. Really, they basically looked like they quit. And like they were going to have to be massive wholesale changes. We talked about this with Drury, and obviously guys who thought they might get dealt weren't. And now you got to answer to that when they walk back in the locker room. Rosen sounds phenomenal still.
Yeah, that call.
Why is he hanging him up?
I heard them play that call this morning. I was like, we got to play that.
That's great.
I mean, that is just, that one has all the, it's a power play. He is the best, Sam. So great call there.
Yeah. I know that we're very territorial.
Yeah.
But like, Mike Breen is amazing.
We're
Rosen's
lucky.
Amazing.
Gary Cohen.
Gary Cohen's really good. I happen to love K. I don't know if you love K. You like him?
I don't. I don't as a play-by-play guy. I just got to be honest with you.
I got you.
I like Rucco as a play-by-play guy.
Yeah, and I think Ryan's very good. I've always thought that. But like, we are blessed with some great voices.
I know Kay sometimes sends it. I don't even make it like I don't like him.
I got you.
I think he's fine.
I got you.
Put it that way.
I got you.
I think if you talk about, though, some of the premier, you know, Breen obviously doing the national games. Gary Cohen, to me, is one of the best ever. And I loved him even when he was on the radio. Howie on the radio. We got Susan. We had Susan and John. Now we got Dave Sims coming in.
Yeah.
So we are spoiled here. And by the way, if you don't think that it is, like, if you think, oh, B2Tel being homers, go listen to some of the people around the country. The majority of people that do these games elsewhere come nowhere near the quality that we have in New York.
The only thing that I would say is to, and I probably agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
Burke, but, by the way, for the Islanders, I think he's terrific.
Oh, Brendan Burke is very, very good. But you go to other cities, like we might parachute in and be like, this is awful. But in that city, it's their guy.
Which is fine.
And so they think that he's awesome.
But Sam,
they might think that Sterling was awful. They might think shows here on WFN stink.
Yeah, right.
Oh, they're mean. They're too opinionated. They're too whatever it might be.
Not their speed.
You know, nah.
Sam, and I've said this before, obviously this is last year, and I really hope the Rangers do well, but Sam's still the one guy who I remember as a kid when I first started watching the Rangers.
Yeah.
He was doing the games then, and he's doing it now. It was Marv with the Knicks for me. Obviously,
definitely.
That hasn't been the case for a while.
Yep.
It was, whether it's Kiner and McCarver or Rizzuto and Seaver or Bill White. Like
White for
you
sure.
You name
Frank
all the
Messer.
Guys that we used to watch back then.
Uh-huh.
Fran Healy for me with the Mets.
Yeah, I liked Fran.
Like, it's different iterations of it. Football, obviously, you know what that is. But
yeah.
Sam's the one guy
he's still
that
going.
Was, yeah.
What was his first year doing the Rangers? Do you remember?
I think it was the 80-something. I remember it. Oh, boy. Like, Kelly Kissio, I remember those years.
Yeah.
Kelly Kissio wore number 11, of course, before Messier. I would say late 80s. You could probably look it up, Hop, with Sam.
What was Rosen's first? I think it was before the late 80s, no?
Mm.
And when did Howie first start? I don't want to.
And by the way, Sam did.
Wild chase.
I was thinking about this the other day. Sam used to do NFL as well.
I don't remember that as much.
Yeah, he did Fox. I'm pretty sure it was Fox.
I know Marv did a lot of NFL on NBC.
Sam would do some Fox games.
Really?
Yeah, NFL football. Not all the time, but he did for several years there. He was one of the Fox voices on the NFL, I believe. Hoff, you have the year he started?
77 to 78.
Yeah.
He was the backup to Marv.
Okay, and then when did he take over?
80-something.
82.
Yeah, okay. That sounds about right.
Wow.
So that's like Barry Beck and Ron Duguay, and I'm a couple of years older than Sal, and I remember that.
Yeah.
Eddie Mio was the goalie.
All right, so back to
Ron
the...
Ron Breschner, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those are way...
Actually, no, it was 80-45 he took over. He was a studio host in 82.
Okay, for what network? MSG wasn't around
MSG
yet.
Networks, yeah.
And MSG then, was around in 82?
And then what year did he take over Rangers play-by-play?
84-85.
Okay.
Oh.
So there you go. So I probably caught on 89. I remember Bernie Nichols. Like these are
early absolutely
memories.
Bernie, yeah.
All right, back to the Super Bowl for the Super Bowl, to the Wild Card weekend. The road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. You know, so we just did our perfect parlay pick segment for this Wild Card weekend. Mm-hmm. And we threw it out there, the challenge to the other shows. They didn't want to take our challenge. We're taking things into our own hands.
Are you serious? They didn't step up?
I didn't hear from Boomer Geo. Did you?
Well, I didn't reach out to him.
Well, I mean, we talked about it on the air. I mean, they heard you talking about you thought Drew Aller could spin it.
Oh, that's true.
He could spin it. He could
fling
it.
Selectively hearing stuff, as always.
All right, and then Evan, I texted Evan. He was game for it. So
hey, he's down.
Here's what we're going to do.
What?
We are going to total up their record, Boomer, Geo, and Jerry, their picks.
Okay.
Evan, Tiki, Sean.
Tiki doesn't make picks.
I think he does if he's not doing the game.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah. Either way, whoever's doing picks on the afternoon show will tally up their picks versus our picks. Me, you, Hoff. Now, it's
that seems unfair. The afternoon has, like, what, 9 guys on it?
It's got to go based off
a lot more chances to win.
Well, you don't want to throw Dove's picks in there, do you?
No. No.
Anyway,
I don't.
So no, we'll do the all percentages, right, whatever it may be, but we'll have some fun.
Are we playing for anything?
Yeah,
I mean, how
yeah
can we? How
talking
can we,
trash, talking well, smack. Let's have some fun with it.
I like it.
Maybe
get
Boomer to buy us lunch or something after we take him to the woodshed.
It's kind of hard to after we take him to the woodshed. It's kind of hard to get somebody to pay up on a bet that they didn't make.
Yeah, I know that's true.
That they didn't agree to.
But I tried.
Well, we could try.
I tried.
We'll stiff
but talking trash. We'll talk trash, and then that'll get their attention.
Yeah, we go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we win, and then be like, oh, yeah, Boomer. Okay, great. You played NFL
Boomer
MVP.
Boomer can't make picks.
You won the MVP. Big deal. Played in the Super Bowl. Big deal. Look at little old us. We know more about
Geo's
football.
Geo's awful with these picks. They're terrible.
I'm just trying to pull them in.
They stink. They can't get it.
Evan was the regular season champ on his show, so we'll take him down. Have some fun doing that. The road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Back to the phones. Nick is on Staten Island. I want to talk about the Mets. What's up, Nick? Nick?
Nick, what's going on, bud?
Hey, love the show, guys. First time, long time.
All right, dude.
Thank you. What's up, Nick?
Yeah, I was just curious. Why would the Mets not go and try to trade some of these, maybe expendable is the wrong word, but they got all these prospects and not all of them are going to be able to fill the positions that they need. Why not go out and package a trade for Vlad and get him now, secure that now, and then really contend? What do you guys think about that?
I think that they might, I think that they could. I think that some of these players that you talk about, they've got to get some value up. And Mauricio's got to show that he's healthy. You know, Brett Beatty's got to show that he could play.
That's got to
work for both teams. That's just the Mets.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big part of it. The Mets have to have what the Blue Jays would want as far as prospects goes. Also, the Blue Jays have to be willing to trade Guerrero. There was thought that that might be the case a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem to be the case anymore, where I think it was reported that they're not going to trade him.
I saw something about, maybe was it before Christmas? It was in the neighborhood, where they're over $300 million. And you know, he's not gonna sign that yet, but I think they want to keep him.
Right.
Or at least the token gesture that
right
they do.
So it sounds great. Yeah, the Mets should go trade for him. Yeah, I think so too. But if the Blue Jays don't want to trade him, then it's not going to be the case. Michael's in Teaneck, New Jersey. What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about Pete Alonso and why the Mets should just get the signing over with already.
Okay.
How many times are they going to trade my favorite Met in my lifetime?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm 63 years old. I became a Mets fan when I was 7 or 8 years old. 1969, I'm a Mets, Jets, Knicks, Ranger fan.
Okay?
For some perspective. Okay? And all I can say is I'm dying to get a message to the owner and the GM of the Mets.
Okay, we'll get it to him.
The message is, please, please, for the Mets fans, sign Pete Alonso. Just get it done.
There you go, Michael.
I like
and
this guy.
Thank you for the call. Be careful on the road out there. It sounds like chaos out there.
I wish that I had that power to make that happen. I actually would love to see that happen for Mike.
Yeah, well, I think that he's not alone when he says
that. They traded Seaver.
Well, come on. I mean,
Darryl walked.
Don't do that with Pete. Like, don't put Pete in that category. Although I do understand.
Well, he just said favorite players.
Yeah, okay, well, that's fine. But we can't put him in that regard where, you know.
Well, Seaver's the best of all time in the franchise.
I still get. And look, Pete, if he does stay here and produces, he still could be a guy that is a lifelong Met, that is an all-time great Met and has his number retired amongst those greats. It still could happen.
Yeah.
BT, if he stays here, however it gets done, if he stays here for the next 5-6 years and produces at a high level and gets 500 homers as a Met, he's going to have his number.
Like, he's
going to
be in the Hall of Fame at that point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's all still out in front of him.
Yes.
Now, will he do it is a totally different question, whether it means will he produce, will they keep him, but it is still possible to have that dream of Alonso being a lifelong Met and an all-time great.
And who the hell am I to snuff it out? I'm not. I'm not looking to snuff it out.
Well, it's not just you. I mean, David Stearns doesn't project that's going to happen either.
I mean, that was a sad call.
Yeah.
This guy's been around since, you know, the 60s begging.
Begging for Alonso to come back. All right, my mentality would not. I want to make it clear. The only reason why I want Pete back is he's their best option. It has nothing to do with homegrown. It does have something to do with that he's produced in New York and in the postseason.
Yeah.
That is a part of it, but I don't get caught up in the sentimental, you know, oh, I love Pete, and he's a homegrown.
When did that shift for you? Because you used to have it. When did the force leave you?
I mean, probably a while ago. Like, you know, I'm too old now to really have that. And by the way, I never even cared about that then. I would have these arguments with Evan about trading David Wright back then. Evan said flat out, he would not trade David Wright for Miguel Cabrera of the Marlins back then.
And I'm like,
you out of your mind. Now, Wright was at his peak, but still, so was Cabrera. And Evan wouldn't do it because of homegrown. And I would always say, I don't care about homegrown. So, I don't know. It might not have ever been a thing.
How'd that work out for Evan, by the way?
Yeah, well, what would you do now?
I love David Wright, but Miggy is one of the best right-handed hitters of all time.
But Evan will be there with his family watching the number 5 get retired.
That's
to the
true.
Raptors at all-time Met.
And where's the value?
Yeah, it's going to mean something.
He wins. He doesn't really win, he wins.
Yeah. All right, that does it for us. Been a fun week. Enjoy the weekend.
Awesome week, man. Football's going to be great. Johnny's Nova tomorrow night.
Ooh, it's a big one.
Looking forward to that. So everybody have a great weekend. It's at the Garden, yeah.
All right, enjoy that
one.
All right. All right, enjoy the wild card weekend. Thanks to Bat Boyle, who was in for Dove. Thanks to Hoff, as always. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back at it Monday morning, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.